footy boss from the Melbourne Storm on. Welcome back to you, Frank. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Dwayne.
How's it gone today? Players, I presume, because you mentioned a couple of days ago on this program that today was the day you were heading back. Has that been the case?
Yeah, we all headed back last night, Dwayne. We finished training at Albury Tigers late yesterday afternoon, and after dinner, all the players and staff got on the freeway and got in late last night. And today's a day off for the players, and the staff are just getting Amy Park ready for tomorrow for start of training.
So talk me through what measures are being put in place at Amy Park and what has been given to players in document form. I suppose they've been given a hard copy of what they're required to do, not just verbal, so they can, you know, look at the grey areas and get those explained to them as well.
Yeah, look, it's we're just basically creating what's called a clean zone. Dwayne, it's an area that only the players, the 32 registered players and the 18 registered staff are allowed in that area. We're getting it ready. It will be sterilised, cleaned tonight. So from midnight tonight, this will be a clean area. So starting with one entry, one exit, every day the players will come in. And just like they were in Albury, they'll get temperature tested as they walk in the door, take the shoes off, because they can't carry it through the clean zone. And then we've had to split the lockers because, just again, from a social distancing point of view, we've had to create another locker for the players. So they're 1.5 to 2 metres apart. Where we eat in our dining room, we've had to place spots around to keep social distancing. And even the team meeting rooms, we've had to block seats so players can sit every second seat. So there's a fair bit of work to do, and so we comply with the protocols.
So essentially, you have to, even though everyone coming into the secure area will be tested and be deemed to not be carrying the virus, you still have to display social distancing inside the venue when you're outside the boundary, but once you're inside the boundary line, you can have full body contact training.
Yeah, it seems a bit unusual, doesn't it, Dwayne? But I think what it's all about minimising the risk of infection. It's not completely eliminating it, because I think we all know that's impossible. But our jobs, we've got to create an environment where we minimise that risk as much as possible. So obviously contact's essential, but even when, for example, in the middle of the field, Craig and his coaches are talking to the players are starting to become conditioned to standing apart from each other rather than on top of each other like they would normally do in a huddle. We're just trying to eliminate as many of those opportunities where they gather close together. We know this occasion's impossible, being a contact sport, but as long as we reduce that to a bare minimum, again, the risk of infection is going to be lowered significantly.
And it's the display, I suppose, the example they're setting. Will they be not allowed to give high fives on the field? Will they not allowed to be, you know, grabbing people for a hug when a try is scored? Is that going to be deemed irresponsible?
Yes, that's an interesting one, Dwayne. We haven't broached that one at this stage. I mean, our mindset's purely just been worrying about training, but that's something, an area that we're definitely going to have to look at in weeks to come. I mean, that's going to be the tough one because, as you know, Dwayne, when you're on the field, there's just going to be those natural instincts that are going to put you, especially in a game mode where something good happens, it's just going to be a natural reaction to do it. So it's going to be a more challenging one. It's obviously one we'll deal with when we come closer to it. But, yeah, those type of things, the natural instincts are going to be the hardest of the lot. But, again, like anything else, I think initially it'll be tough, but as players get used to it and staff get used to it, I think it'll become the new norm.
And little things like, you know, washing your mouth out with the water bottle and spitting it on the ground, just little things like that, I presume players are going to have to get into a different mindset as to the old stuff that you did just as normal course of going about your day at work, which is playing a game of footy, you can't do.
Yeah, they will, don't they? And they've already started with training. I mean, they were great last week in Albury, and we expect to be the same here at Amy Park. Water bottles on the field have gone from training. Game's going to be different, obviously, but now we've just got cups and they just put the cups in the bin when they're finished. So from that point of view, that's become easier at training. Games are going to be challenging, where, again, we'll have to broach that subject when we come closer to the game. But, you know, one thing that's really important when they do start, you know, playing and people are on TV, and if players do naturally hug or high five or do something, as you said, with a water bottle, it's important that the public and the media handle that with the right way, because it's going to take time for to get rid of those natural. I don't think anyone's going to purposely do it. It's just going to be needing reminding not to do it. So to stop doing something you've done all your life is really, really difficult. That's what they call habits. So I think the first few weeks we'll see a bit of that, and then it'll just be gradually that'll phase out of the, the game as time goes on.
Do you trust the fans and the general public to cut the player some slack, or do you think, you know, jumping on a player for doing something accidental like that is just normal on social media these days that we've almost got to expect it? Do you think they'll get some slack cut to them?
Oh, I think 90% of the public and media, 95%, yes, I do. But like anything in life, there's always going to be that small element that just can't help themselves. So, yeah, we're going to expect it. But I think, generally speaking, that I think everyone's going to be totally understanding of the situation. I think, look, after a while, if players continue doing it, well, then I think it's fair game. I think after a while, you should be able to get out of those habits. But, yeah, initially, you would hope people that would cut up some slack. But, as you know, Dwayne, there's always some people ready to pounce.
And the protocols around the players, you spoke about it a couple of days ago, but if you could just explain to me, the players, no visitors to their home, so they've signed a waiver to say they won't have visitors to their home, and they've signed a waiver to say that essentially they'll only leave their house to go to training or to play or to the airport.
Yeah, it's right. We actually addressed this same subject yesterday with the players. We went through the Amy Park protocols with the players, what to expect when they're walking through the doors on Thursday morning. I think they're the easy things. I think they'll adjust to those really easily. But we just had to remind them that yesterday, even though with all the news that Daniel Andrews announced on Monday morning about loosening a lot of the restrictions, we said that just doesn't apply to us. So again, it's little reminders about that. But basically, between here and their homes, there's really nowhere else for them to go except for things like if they've got kids dropping at school, going for a specialist or a medical appointment that's essential, grocery shopping. That's it, you know. Unfortunately, not in the simple stop at the cafe and get a coffee. They just can't do that. And as you said before, unfortunately, visitors are not allowed in their home, or if they are, they have to leave the residence. So they're onerous, they're challenging, but at the end of the day, we said it from day one, without those restrictions, Dwayne, we wouldn't be able to play. So we understand that, you know, the sacrifice has got to make them, you know, for us to chance to play and then get paid. I think that's what we have to put up with.
And yourself included in that, because you're one of the 50, correct?
Yes, yeah. I had the same conversation with my wife this morning, Dwayne. So, I said I'm going to be pretty boring for the next few weeks, and she didn't tell me that nothing really changes. So, we're pretty good at home.
So she can't invite two friends around for a dinner party, Frank. That's not allowed. You can't do that anymore.
Well, the problem there, Dwayne, is that she can, but I have to leave the house. So I think she's going to have regular visitors quite often, so I'm in a bit of trouble. Have you got a spare room at your place, Dwayne?
Yeah, absolutely. You can come to my wife's dinner party if you like. Although you're not allowed to, so I'll get her to come
no,
to yours.
I can't, sorry.
I'm the same, although it suits me not to have them. Before I let you go, Frank, you sound really confident that the players are going to be smart enough to adhere to it. I know you don't want indiscretions to happen, but has it almost been the indiscretions that have happened that have rammed it down the throat of players that you just can't have anything go wrong and you need to make sure every box is ticked here from here on in, otherwise this whole thing can go awry?
Yeah, look, it's interesting what you say, confident, you know, confident and also hopeful. And look, at some stage there's going to be, someone's going to do something, I would deem it an accident. And you can live with that, and players will put their hand up if it was, for example, just innocently forgot something, but it's, you know, it's just ones where it's just genuine ones where they know what they're doing and they still go ahead with it. I think they're the ones that are going to be making it really difficult for the whole game. But I think there's been that much scrutiny on the players. I would, yeah, never say never, Dwayne, when you're dealing with young people. But you'd hope that, you know, the vast majority of players will do. And if there are any indiscretions, we hope they're only very, very minor, and ones that aren't serious.
And you do often, normally, use Gosh's paddock. Can you not use that now?
We were in discussions with MAPT or Amy Parks. At the moment, for the next week, we'll do all our training inside Amy Park. I think what may happen, but without being confirmed, is the area around Gosh's will probably have to be a fence all around it for the interim period. But again, there's some logistical issues there that MAPT will probably have to go through. So if we do end up on Gosh's paddock, we could only train there if there was, the whole area was fenced away from the public. So again, to create what they call that clean zone, which is, I think, what the MAPT are looking at the moment.
And public could come up to the fence and watch you train, at least, as long as they display social distancing, obviously.
Yeah, well, Albury was the same. It was at the Albury Tigers ground. There was a particular area where people could do that, but thankfully the people of Albury just you know, used to pop in for their walks, have a quick look and keep moving. So, and keeping their distances. So it would be the same for Gosh's paddock, you would think so. So again, as long as they stick to the social distancing. Something, unfortunately, we can't promote. What we usually do is promote our training and encourage our supporters to come down, as times have changed, unfortunately, won't. So that's probably things that we won't be encouraging to do as a club, which is, you know, not normal, but it's just the way the world is got these days.
Talking to Frank Panisi, Melbourne Storm football boss. And last one, Frank, has any AFL clubs touched base with you to try and work out how you're working your way through it, or do you expect that to come in the next couple of days?
Yeah, no, I've had a couple of calls. I've you know, we've got a great relationship with Collingwood next door, and obviously the Demons here that, you know, I spoke to Josh Marnie a couple of days ago, and it was also North Melbourne and the Tigers. I've had conversation with them over the last week or so, and again, they just wanted to know how things are with rugby league. We've got obviously that we started earlier, so giving them just a few of our experiences. So yeah, I think that's pretty smart going by those clubs. So yeah, anything that can help other clubs, we're all for it.
And are they state guidelines that you are adhering to? So we presume that the AFL clubs are going to have the same guidelines.
The NRL protocols that were done with the federal government, but I'm pretty sure they're aligned to all the state governments. So, for example, the Victorian government, for us to use Amy Park, we can only have one entry and one exit, which is exactly the same protocols as the NRL. So I think all state protocols will fall in line with the ones that have been done by the national body, which they had done with federal government. So I don't think you're going to see major variances from state to federal protocols.
Or variances, therefore, for the NRL to the AFL?
Yeah, I think there might be a couple, but I just, because we're dealing with government and AFL be the same, for the game to get the exemption to commence training, commence playing, there would have been a set of protocols that were obviously signed off by the federal government and the state government. So you would imagine they'd be very, very similar from both codes.
Frank, good luck with it. We really appreciate you joining me. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk soon.
Pleasure, Dwayne. Thank you.
Frank Panisi, boss of the Melbourne Storm. Your calls, 1300 736 736. It sounds like the AFL are going to have the same protocols. The AFL players are being tested today. You'll see pictures on the news tonight of the players going in and out of their testing regime at Marvel Stadium. And then it looks like the Melbourne Storm being the pace car. What's happening with the Melbourne Storm is going to happen with the clubs here in Victoria. What happens in other states is going to be interesting, but we'll follow that as well. Your calls after the break, 1300 736 736, before Mark Scaife joins us to talk V8 racing and what might be on offer for this season's Supercar Series in about 15 minutes from now. So your calls next.